Scotty, it's time to geek out, man. Geek out on LED. You like that? Is that a negative thing? I think geeking out gets me excited. I'm going to learn a lot.
Geeking out, man. I just want to learn a whole bunch, man. I don't want to get too geeked out.
Well, I got word that HLG, Horticultural Lighting Group, was going to be coming to the DTC Cup this year. So I said, you know what? Let's get these guys on the show. So today, guys, we're going to do a bit of discussion about LED tech, a little bit of actually cannabis discrimination with banking, ironically. Welcome to the show. We have Amit and Brock from HLG. If you guys went to the DTC Cup last year, you might have met Brock was hanging out there with his wife, Emily, I believe. Brock?
Yes. Yeah, my wife, Emily, was there with me as well.
We know these guys years, man. You've been, Amit, you've been, Amit, sorry, you've been with us for years. You were the one that was explaining the good LED tech to me, or when LED tech changed. Y'all gave me a really good understanding of it, man. So shout out to HLG, you've been with us a while, and I run your gear, and I love it. And I have questions, man, so I want to learn a little bit today.
All right, thanks, guys. Yeah, it's great to be on the show.
Hey, I remember running. Go ahead, Scotty.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to get into something. I hope I'm not hijacking too bad, but I'm sitting there hanging with Amit, and normally he has a big smile on his face, and you didn't actually have a smile on your face this morning. So I asked you what was up, and you had told me about you go, hey, man, all our banking got canceled overnight. And I wish I could be shocked, but it happens to a lot of people that serve the cannabis industry, not just being in the cannabis industry, but serving the cannabis industry. There's so much discrimination on all these levels going on. And whether it's the overregulation for, you know, overregulation and just this banking, just whimsically saying, hey, you know what? Like they don't have to give you a reason. They can just cancel your shit and I'll give you a reason. Dude knows that.
Yeah, so we were working with Chase Bank since the company started in 2016, and you know, we everything was going smooth, and all of a sudden they decided not to do banking with us, and we're not even plant touching. We make LED lamps and sell it to growers, and so we're not a plant touching company, but still they decided to shut down our bank accounts with pretty much just no notice at all, and it's pretty disappointing because it is the first time in 7 years that I was not able to run payroll on time for my employees. And so, yeah, it was just a big headache yesterday. And just, yeah, we luckily we have some other bank accounts. We work with several banks. You know, that's what I would recommend if you're in this industry, work with several banks, several credit card processors, because you never know which one you're going to lose when. And yeah, I just hope they pass some, you know, the
federal
Congress
legalization.
Passes some,
that's all you, yeah. What you need is federal legalization to make this happen. Because banks are federally regulated.
Yeah, but you would hope that, you know, they would try to make it easier on companies that are not plant touching, but, you know, they put us all in the same bucket, which is unfortunate.
Not plant touching either, Amit. And I don't know if the bankers had a meeting like last week. I love that plant touching. Last week when I was visiting Scotty, I had to be like, not talked down, but I lost our PayPal account that we had had for however long. And I do payroll through PayPal, and just super frustrating. So I wonder if it's just they have a little upper meeting, like, let's go through the system here and just screw with everybody that, but technically I'm not violating anything, but there's no recourse. When you call PayPal, they actually get a dude, which I'm surprised. And the answer is, PayPal has just decided to not do business with you anymore. And there's like nobody to talk to, no fixing it. No, went wrong. What did you guys see? So that sucks.
I'm looking at this THCO sucker that I have, and it turns out it's made from hemp. It was legal. And then they just had a court hearing and the judge decided it's not legal anymore. Okay. I know it. I know that this isn't legal because, you know, a court decided it. I get it. dude, when you're just doing banking and everything's going along just fine, and then suddenly this happens with PayPal for zero reason whatsoever, they just cut you off. I mean, at least when a judge decides and a court decides on something, that to me is the American legal system and the American way. When just randomly some executive at a bank goes, hey, man, I came in a bad mood this morning and I lost a lot of money last night. So, hey, look, I want to eliminate our risk or reduce our risk. Get rid of all these guys. That's not the American way.
Yeah, they call it risk analysts or, you know, risk assessment teams. And, you know, they decide, I guess, just, you know, which account they're going to shut down. And
it's really a person.
Pretty unfortunate.
So it's pretty risky over there.
Yeah.
It's chat GPT, man.
Let's take it to LEDs, Scotty. We've been running LEDs for a while. This Dude Grow show started by talking, I mean, not as our basis, but we would talk shit on LEDs. But yeah, you're not going to replace this 1,000-watt HPS. Then next thing you know, down the line, I'm hanging up a 90-watt UFO to see what it can do. It just looks like this red beam from the sky. And then here we are today, and things are badass, man. The low profile, it's one thing I love about LEDs, the ability to grow in like small ass tents, not having a big old hood, not having that central point of heat. Me and Scotty run your 350Rs, love those, but I want to get in a few numbers, like what people look for when buying an LED. There's fake numbers. People say this, it's funny that some of the companies would be like 1,000 watt, like what we mean.
1,000 watt equivalent. 300
watts.
Yeah.
Equivalent. But it replaces 1,000 watt.
Right.
But I see when you guys on your site, for example, when you're talking about the efficiency of the 350R and it lists 3.11 PPF per watt. What is that PPF per watt? And we can dive into that. Is that significant
to the end user
and also U moles per joule?
Yeah, I think we should start off with just tell me if I'm looking at an Amazon listing for an LED and what are the parameters I want to consider. I know U moles per joule is that funny looking, you know, formula thing. I look for a number around 3. Back in, a couple years ago, Guru would tell me, whoa, they're about to hit 3. I didn't know what U moles per joule was, except it's an efficiency rating, and 3 was pretty goddamn good, man. What other things do I want to look for?
Wait one sec. I just got to tell Scotty's shopping on Amazon's the first thing you tell him that he's doing wrong. But take it from there, guys.
Hang on. Amazon does what, 60, 70% of retail? So the first thing you guys got to handle if you want to sell some lights is Amazon. And I mean, people certainly go there and look. Am I crazy?
I mean, we sell on Amazon as well through retailers and, you know, back to credit card processing. If that's one way to get your credit card to pass through, sell on Amazon.
Hell yeah. So if I'm looking, comparing your lights, you know, compared to other products, HLG is a high quality. You guys compete on quality, not on price. But just tell me what to look for.
I would say, you know, like you guys had just mentioned before, where you see a listing on Amazon that says 1,000 watt light, and then you look over at the price tag and it says $99.99. You're like, okay, well, I mean, this is cheaper than the HIDs used to be.
So flags.
Yeah, that's a red flag. That would definitely throw some flags up in the air for me. And, you know, read through some of the reviews, some of the comments, because they're basing that off of the diodes that they're using. And so if they say their diodes can run 10 watts a piece and they've got 100 diodes, it's now 1,000 watt light according to them, but it only runs at 100 watts. So that's definitely something to be looking out for.
How do I size the light then? If it's fudged with the 1,000 watt equivalents and stuff, how do you figure out how much coverage, you know, how much light for how much coverage? Is that U moles per joule? Is that U moles per joule is just efficiency? How do you measure the total output?
So PPF is going to be your total output, just your basic standard of how much light this fixture can produce. And so at 350 watts, like your 350R, it produces just over 1,000 PPF at 350 watts. So at maximum intensity, where if you're looking at some of these other lights, you know, with their efficiency numbers at, say, 2.5, and they're saying it's 100 watts that they're pulling from the wall, they might only be putting out 250 to 300 PPF. I guess that would be a one-to-one. But, you know, if you're trying to hit, say, a 2.5 with 600 watts, well, now you're going to be putting out closer to 1500 PPF, which is going to be more of a 5x5 light. So the real quick way to assess it would be look at the wattage that the fixture is drawing to get an idea of the space it's covering.
So 100 watts covers a 2x2. Give me the quick rundown, man. 100 watts covers a 2x2, 2x4.
Yeah, so we have the HLG 100R spec. Great light for a 2x2. You can go up to the 350R, 350 watts. And that one's covering a flowering footprint of about 3x5. And then as you get up towards like 600 and 700 watt fixtures, you're now looking at a 5x5 space.
And those are the 1,000 watt replacements.
Right. Yeah. And that's where our efficiency number differs from old HIDs, where, like, say, a double-ended HPS would come in right at, we'll use a round number of 2,000 PPF for a brand new bulb. Our fixtures are coming in right at around 2,100 PPF. So very, very close to equivalent on a double-ended HPS. But the deterioration lasts worlds longer with ours than it does with an HID because you're not dealing with the same heat signatures.
Yeah, there's so many advantages. Due to my hijacking, man, here, I'll let you talk.
Well, I wanted to ask how long? I mean, you guys have been in business a while now. When you invest in one of these, the degradation over what do you say? I mean, obviously a driver might fail while the diodes are still good and the drivers are replaceable. I guess that's typically what happens first. But how long can a grower count on this light, all things go well, to get with up to 5%, we'll say, degradation? Does that happen in 5 years? And it depends on if you're running a veg or a bloom cycle, but take it from there.
So it depends a lot on, you know, the temperature, what LED you're using, you know, and how good is the heat sink. And so for most of our lamps, what we saw was you're losing less than 1% of light each year. For every 12 usage, you know, over a year, you lose less than 1% of your light output. So now you'd lose close to maybe about a little less than 5% in 5 years. And LEDs typically do not go out. Very reliable. It's the power supplies that that usually go out. But they are easily replaceable as well.
I remember Guru was really impressed with y'all's design because I remember you guys had those. It was like heat sinks that kind of looked like my hair, where they go like pin fin heat sinks. But there was really cool where he was explaining to me the surface area. There was maximized the surface area so that air could run over it and passively cool it. So you weren't dealing with fans. He said he respected fanless when they were just able to use the physics of the heat sink. As opposed to using a fan because it was a fail point.
So yeah, we used to use pin heat sinks. It would be like a scare or a
I got a few of the old school ones. Pins. Yeah,
yeah. But so you know, 5 years back, LEDs were not as efficient. There was still a lot of they were still producing a lot of heat. So you needed really good heat sinks. Pin heat sinks is one of those great examples, right? Really great performing heat sink. But LEDs have just improved so much. They're so much more efficient that you know, if you design it the right way, you almost sometimes don't even need a heatsink.
That's my point, is when you look, and I'm trying to do my best. So I do shop on Amazon. So when I'm looking, and I will look at lights just for the fuck of it, you know, and a lot of times I do get confused because I don't understand the size of the diode. I don't understand how hard they're driven with how much electricity they're putting in those diodes. If you're using them a 10 watt diode at 1 watt, or if you're using it at 10 watts.
So, Kevin, if I were to be shopping on Amazon, you want to look for total output of the fixture, which is defined in PPF, the wattage, like Brock said. And also, you want to look at what LED are they using. Like at HLG, we're a horticulture partner with Samsung. So we use Samsung in
those are the not diodes, just any right? Samsung.
Samsung those LEDs, the diodes.
So that's LED is a diode? Is that a light-emitting diode? That's okay. So making sure I get the
LED. The diode is the same thing. LED is light-emitting diode, and diode is just that diode, right? So, we work directly with Samsung, and whatever is the latest LED they come out with, we're the first ones to incorporate that into our fixture. So if I'm shopping around, I would look for total output efficiency. I'd check out the spectrum as well. What LED are they using? How long of a warranty are they offering? I think one year is the absolute minimum that you want to look for. 3 years would be even better. And so PPF is called photosynthetic photon flux, and its units are micromoles. So when you hear PPF per watt or micromoles per joule, it is essentially the same thing.
That's the amount of raindrops of light that are coming down, right?
Right.
And then what's that difference between that and PPFD? PPF, and then I hear PPFD.
So the difference
is too complicated. I don't know.
PPFD is going to be, PPFD is measured in a single spot. So where we're looking at PPF, we're looking at a given space. And that's going to be the maximum output, the total output of the light. PPFD is the total output of that light wherever you're measuring it. So you're
just for canopy. That's what I wanted to get into. Let's go into the grow.
Yeah.
My question is, I have struggled with how far do I need to keep this light from canopy? And it has a dimmer, and different lights have, you know, diode spacing different. So it might be a manufacturing thing where you need to know your equipment, and there's suggestions there. Before, Brock, you had mentioned you guys have a little bit of meter talk. I mean, there's even an app these days that can help with this. I feel like if you really want to know it, you kind of need a PPFD meter, correct? To know what that light is, the intensity at canopy.
Yo, get a PPFD meter necklace, bro. Okay. They're even better. No, I wasted my money on this thing, or at least I was trying to measure. I was going to lower the lights down. I lowered them down too much and burnt my plants, or actually, you know, damaged my plants. So I bought this on Amazon and read all the reviews and compared it. And I have no idea how to use it, man. It just doesn't seem to be working for me, man. So help me understand.
So, you know, there are a lot of ranges when it comes to price tags as far as meters go and accuracy. You know, we were talking about how high to hang the lights, what intensity to run them at with the dimmer. You know, one of the things that we have now available to us with LEDs is that your spectrum changes minuscule, like almost not at all when you're dimming your lights, which is huge. When we used to dim our HIDs, the spectrum would change wildly. So you would always either have to raise or lower the lights. Now you can set your lights at a fixed height and you can adjust them with a dimmer, or you can move your lights up and down depending on, you know, the age and stage that your plants are in.
Does spectrum change the morphology of the plant, the way the plant grows, the spectrum?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. And so, you know, HIDs were different in that area as well. They have a large concentration in one area of your photosynthetic range, which is going to be 400 nanometer to 700 nanometer, which is the old version. We're now looking at 300 to 800 being our range. So it's definitely widened up quite a bit as we're starting to look at UV on the bottom side, you know, 300 to 400, and then near infrared, which is 700 to 800.
I thought that was always the wrap on LEDs, is they didn't have UV.
UV is possible with LEDs, but when you start getting into your lower wavelengths, it can be very volatile and it'll start to break down solid compounds. So quite literally you turn it on and it starts breaking that LED down. So, you know, trying to integrate LED UV into your grow, typically it's going to be a blend of UVA. Even HLG, we make a UVA bar that uses 365 and 385 nanometer combination so that we can get a little bit more variance out of that light without having the same degradation. So it still comes with a 1 year warranty.
How's the response?
You guys have, and we'll bring it back to the light meters here in a minute. But now that we are on UV, you do have a UV light. We hear so many different things about UV. It's not worth it. It's worth it. You guys obviously sell these to growers. What type of feedback are you getting it? And where is it apical? Is it apical in my, if I have everything else dialed, of course, right? I'm like looking to get another thing to play with. Like, let's add some UV light into my 2x4 tent, or is this commercial style, and what results are you seeing?
So with UV, it's going to be very strain dependent or cultivar dependent. We found that a lot of the plants that have been, you know, bred and raised outdoors that already have lineage with, you know, exposure to UV, they're genetically passing down the ability to adapt to that. So you're going to see a stronger showing from those plants. And that's because essentially what they're doing is creating more trichomes and more resin to reflect that UV light away from the plant.
Right.
You know, we were talking about how UV can break down solid tissue. Well, it's going to do the same thing to your leaf surface. And that's the same way that it does to our skin. I mean, we get out there in the summer working on our crops. We've all got a tan. We're putting on, sure, you know, SPF and, yeah, trying to protect ourselves from this stuff. So it does have, you know, negative effects. But when you're using it in a controlled environment and, like you're saying, you're spacing it out appropriately, then, you know, there's not too much risk involved, especially if you're not going to be in there all day long. You know, plants are already accustomed to responding to UV. And so, yeah, back to genetics that are started outside versus, or bred outside versus indoors, you're going to see a better response from those. But yeah, I would say for our UVA bar, the 30 watt, like you were asking, I've got people running those in 2x4s and they're showing fantastic results. But the standard footprint is going to be about one UV bar to one commercial size fixture. So about a 5x5 footprint for 30 watts.
So they're seeing results in the flowering stage. Maybe it's, like you said, the flowers are trying to protect themselves from this light, if you will. Maybe putting on more of the resin. That's what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, put your meter away. So yeah, back to the trichomes. Meters. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, more trichomes, better bag appeal. And again, just what Brock is talking about and what HLD sells is UVA. There's whole another thing about UVB, UVC, which are a lot more powerful, and you have to be very careful with them as well.
Because I always say exposure UVC stands for cancer. You don't want that one.
Yeah, so you definitely need to wear skin and eye protection around UVB and UVC. So just for those reasons, you know, we're really not sure if benefits outweigh the risks, and that's why we don't sell products based on UVC just yet.
Yeah, makes sense, man. Makes sense.
But yeah, with UVA, it repels bugs as well. You know, bugs don't like UVA. It depends on cultivars. Cool.
I like it.
Well, I'm sorry. I just wanted to ask about Spectrum since I got the pros on, man. Like my 350Rs have a little bit. I see a few red diodes in there. Should I be looking at the diodes? I don't know. It doesn't hurt like it does the HPS. But I see a little bit of red in there. What's the mix and what's the idea? I know the R. I think it stands for red, right? But what's the mix on that? Is there a perfect spectrum for veg and flowering?
So the red that you're seeing on those is going to be specifically 660 nanometer deep red. And that has an effect on increasing your photosynthetic rate. So by adding that R to the end of that 350, you know, you can speed up your photosynthesis. You're going to get overall larger biomass. So wow, larger flowers, thicker stems, larger leaves. And, you know, your leaf surface is basically just your solar receptor. So the larger your leaves are going to be, the more light they're going to be able to absorb, which, you know, allows you to photosynthesize more.
Wow.
The spectrum that you guys have with your 350s is one that we use as a universal spectrum. So it's got a really great red, green, blue ratio. So you can basically run this light from start to finish. And the reason why we wanted to do that is because that it kind of takes a lot of the stress out of that transitional phase. You're going to be going from your 18-6 cycle to your 12-12 cycle.
Yeah.
If you're growing photo periods, well, you're changing your timeline, you're changing your nutrients, and then you're changing the intensity of the light. If we can cut one of those stressors out by using that same spectrum, well, your plant's going to respond faster. It's going to start producing faster.
And also the veg light, though, for people, correct, with a different spectrum, mm-hmm, if you're running veg only. And what's the difference in that?
It contains a slightly less red in the spectrum. And that's because what we're not wanting to do is push our veg plants as vigorously as we are our flowering plants. The other thing is with more of your blue spectrum, you're going to get lateral root growth and lateral branching growth. So for anybody that's looking to maintain mothers, clones, or even just push their veg a little bit faster, like you guys have said many times, more roots, more fruits, you're going to be getting that with more of a blue spectrum.
Let's take it back, Scotty, because you showed off your little necklace light meter there. Me and Brock were talking before the show about an app. Now, a phone app that lets, as far as trying to make this affordable and have somebody be like, man, I don't want to buy another device just to see how close I get my light. So what's up with that?
I just got to ask. It says there's a QR code that you can scan for bag use instructions. So not how to use the machine, how to use the bag. No, I got to tell you, I had no idea how to refold this bag, by the way. I just failed at it and gave up. I need the QR code for the instructions. Sorry, Brock.
Oh, you're all good. I've actually not seen those before. That's really intriguing. I'd love to get my hands on one. I'll probably get together with Amit and order one of those here after the show.
Good. And then explain to me how it works, because I've had zero success with it. Like I said, I was like, I always kept those lights up to the tippy top. And then I was like, dude, I'm going to lower them down. My plants are looking so strong. And you guys know what? I don't know. Just a grow show. If the audience hasn't ever done that, you just come in and it looks like somebody just shined a light on you too bright for 24 hours. They don't look good. And they take a little bit to recover, man. So having that right light dialed in, mine was too intense, but that's why I bought this thing, trying to make sure that problem didn't happen. So help me figure it out.
So when it comes to meters, there's a huge range. I would say that the benchmark meter out there is going to be Apogee. You know, we use an Apogee 6 MQ620 there at HLG when we're doing our testing and evaluating. Actually, I think Amit even has one.
Mine was $80. How much was yours?
I believe those are going right around the $700 range.
That's what I was saying. That's why mine was $80. That's why I bought the $80 one. That doesn't work.
So
it was only $80.
As a cost-effective option, there are a couple. I don't know if you can see. This is iPhone. We've got the Photon app. This one's pretty accurate, actually, when it comes to really just iPhone only. And that's because they put a whole lot of tech in R&D into their front-facing cameras.
You have to have at least a 12. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah, I always catch shit for being an Android guy, man. And damn it. I give these guys give me ammo now.
Well, and that isn't to say that Android phones aren't going to be advantageous as well. Samsung does have another option that you can use called Tent Buddy. And I think I have that one pulled up on a Samsung phone that I use as well. Oh.
Tent Buddy?
Oh, yep.
Tent Buddy. Sounds like a Viagra commercial, doesn't it, man?
So the Photon app on an iPhone 12 or later, I think it's a one-time cost of $4.99. And testing that one in my office, we've got a lettuce grow going on. That was within anywhere from 5 to 10% of that Apogee meter. So, nice. You know, in lower ranges of, say, 50 to 100 PPFD, you might be 5 to 10 PPFD off of that Apogee.
And which doesn't matter, right? Like 5 to 10, but you got a huge margin for error, or a decent margin for error on that, right?
Exactly. So what we're looking for is just a good ballpark number that you can use to adjust your lights during your stage of growth. And I think that Photon app does a fantastic job without the price tag of an Apogee.
When we're talking adjusting our lights, I've got a dial on the top so I can adjust my intensity, or I can adjust the distance from the canopy. What's the difference? How would I want to use each of those adjustments?
Essentially, they're going to be adjusting the same thing. So you can either adjust the intensity and you can leave your light at the same height, or you can adjust your light. One of the advantages to adjusting the height of your light is allowing you to turn that intensity down. And you're now using less wattage, which in turn will drop your temps too. So if you're growing in summer and you want to run your lights at 100% at the top of the tent, you might get some higher temps in your tent. Whereas if you bring it down to the canopy and you run it at 6 inches or 12 inches and you turn it down to 70%, you're losing 30% of that heat output as well.
That makes sense, then, man.
That's where you want to know these numbers, because you can go, I'm just looking at some site now that rec says, hey, this is the recommended PPFDs for early veg, flowering. So you're holding your app there, you're seeing that, and you could just sit there either with the dimmer, which is pretty sweet, or like you said, lower it down and run the light lower to save power and save on heat. What about CO2 supplementation? I've heard people recommend different PPFDs for if you're actually enriching, like you have the perfect environment, you're not exhausting, and you have CO2 enriched grow.
Fire it up. More octane.
So, like Scotty mentioned, there is such a thing as too much light. Like your plants can just get cooked. One of the things that helps you kind of mitigate light stress is increasing the CO2, just helping your plants breathe more. You know, the more light and energy that they're getting, the more they have to try and breathe to keep up. They're producing a lot of energy. So with CO2, you can increase the light to your canopy, and it's pretty much the sky is the limit, realistically. We've been working with some researchers that have been doing NASA studies where they're putting 3 and 4,000 PPFD to the canopy and trying to supplement with 3,000 PPFD.
Well, I blast CO2 in my room. I'm 1,200 ppm CO2 all the time. And what is it, just maybe that it's a shock coming down, you know, just bringing them down that quickly is a shock? Do you do it lower or do you do it slowly? I just blasted them down one day.
Yeah, you can definitely shock your plants.
But wow, you're saying the more the better. And where is there diminishing returns as far as, I mean, do I put 4,000 PPFD in my 2x4 tent and will I get 4 pounds out of it? Or where's diminishing returns as far as that's concerned?
Scorpion, that we were looking at this research done by professor of Utah, Bruce Bugbee. And he saw the yields were going up all the way up to 1,600 PPFD. And so on a full bright summer day, sun is putting out about 2,000 PPFD at its peak. 2,000 PPFD, that is the highest intensity in nature in a full summer. So under test conditions, yields were going up all the way up to 1,600 PPFD. Now, at such high intensity levels, you're going to have to be on top of your game on your nutrients, water, everything, temperature, everything is. So, so I think, if you're not using CO2, staying at 1,000, or if you have CO2 like 1,200 ppm, like you do, you could easily go up to 1,200 ppfd and see gains out of it. The difference, I would say, between adjusting height and dimming is that when you're adjusting the height, you're also controlling the spread of the lamp, how much coverage you're getting, how even is the coverage, that also gets impacted. And by dimming it using the knob, you control the intensity. So if you have a big enough facility and it's worth getting a sensor like this and measuring the PPFD, you can make sure it's even all over your canopy. But even if you're a home grower, like Brock said, you can get the Photon app or the Tent Buddy, and those apps are really useful now, because you want to make sure you get even coverage across your whole canopy. And it's the act of just balancing, just finding that perfect height where you're getting an even coverage on your canopy, and then just dimming it down to an ideal PPFD setting based on what cycle your grow is in.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask, are those names, Scotty, like kind of telling about the end users of the phone? So we got a Photon app for iPhones, and then Android, hey, check out my Tent Buddy.
I don't know. How dare you? So you're saying iPhone classes it up a little bit more? Okay. All right.
Oh, man.
Hey, this is great, man. I am learning a bunch. I actually think I can go with confidence. No, I can't adjust my lights yet because I don't have. Well, yeah, I can. I can just use this. My PPFD meter doesn't work there, but I can just use my phone, right?
Right.
So, by the way, Brock, what are these ideal levels that Scotty should be targeting?
So based on age and stage, if we're looking, we'll start off with the lowest, and that's going to be seedlings and clones cuttings. You're going to want to be anywhere from 100, or if you've got your cutting game really dialed in, maybe 200 PPFD. But I definitely wouldn't go much more than that, because you're going to start pulling those sugars from the plant as they're trying to, you know, make actual soluble compounds to start building their root structure.
That's why we throw them on the floor, keep it as far away from the light intensity as possible. 100 to 200. All right. Get numbers here.
And then when you're going into veg, early veg, about 300, maybe 400. And then through mature veg and even mothers, I'd say 500 to 600. That would be your ideal range as you're moving up in, you know, the age of the plant. And once you're getting ready to transition, that's where you're going to want to start changing your light to a higher intensity, because you're now lowering the time that the lights are on. So once you do that switch or your flip over to 12-12, you're going to want to increase that light. Otherwise, one, your plants are going to stretch like crazy. But two, they're still used to getting the same amount of light every day. So when you've lowered that time frame that they can receive light, they now have to absorb that same amount of light or more in less of a period. So definitely want to kick that light up. I would say minimum during transition is 600 PPFD. And then you want to try and get, you know, anywhere from say 600 to, like Amit said, 1100 without CO2, or upwards of, you know, 1500 with CO2, 15, 16. Once you get above 16, you're going to have to start supplementing with more nutrients. You're going to have to run your dehumidifiers harder. You're going to have to add a lot more CO2, and your gains aren't going to be going up exponentially anymore.
Got it. So got it.
Your return on investment's going down from that point forward.
Hey, man, I heard you say something really interesting, that they should get the same amount of light, whether they're in 18 hours veg or 12 hour bloom. Is that, so does that have to do with, I'm channeling my inner guru here. I had the LED guru for years to give me this information. Hmm. And he was talking about DLI, daily light integral, the amount of photon. What is it? That's the amount of photons that the plant just absorbs during the day.
Yeah, overall. During the day. That's right. And so, you know, when you're going from that transition phase in veg, you're getting about 25 to 30 DLI. You want to maintain that when you're transitioning for that 2 week stretch period, if not giving them a little bit more. So when you're cutting your light down from 18 hours to 12 hours, you're losing 6 hours of illumination.
Right.
You're going to want to make that up by increasing the intensity of the light, either to maintain that 25 to 35, or if you've got strains that really love light, you can definitely start pushing them there.
Nice. Makes sense.
I want to, before I wanted to ask you guys what's in the pipeline here before we do this Photone app. Photone? Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Does it work on dude's iPhone 7?
Photone.
Scotty, I might have two things working. I got a 12, but it's a mini. And I'm in Canada, and sometimes Canada's just like that shit with just, oh, it's not available here because whatever reason. So if you guys see me looking at my phone, it's because I'm trying to find that. But I did want to ask you, what is in the pipeline? I'm looking forward to a day where I can, like, paint my LED onto my wall. Like, I mean, we're not there yet. They're super thin, super cool. But, yeah, what's the future bringing in the next couple of years? What advancements can we see in tech with them and end users?
So, Amit, you got that?
Yeah, I'll give it a try. Yeah. So, in the last couple of years, the LEDs got, you know, efficient really quick. So that was great for the industry. Just, you know, we were able to make lamps more cost effective because LEDs are more efficient. That's one of the reasons why we incorporate red LEDs in our products as well. Red LEDs are really efficient. So what we are doing next and what we're seeing in the industry is that, there's some, on every white LED, there's a phosphorus on the top. Essentially, white LED is a blue LED with some phosphorus on the top. And that phosphorus absorbs that blue light and converts it into green, red, and all the other colors. And that's how you get that white color. So the LED manufacturers, they're trying these different types of phosphorus, to get to the next level of efficiency. So we're seeing just LEDs where...
Wait, it's tied to phosphorus, really. Like, that's a huge player, it sounds like. Is this the same phosphorus that we're using to bloom our plants? Interesting. So, we're going to run out of it, Scotty. We're going to be screwed as growers on the lighting end, too.
Yep. So phosphorus is essentially... So this is probably just really, really refined, pure crystals of phosphorus. And they're mixed in a silicone, and then they're applied on top of a blue LED. And then so when the blue light passes through the phosphorus is absorbing that blue and then converting it into green, orange, red wavelengths. So there's some new types of phosphorus in the market that LEDs manufacturers are trying, and we're testing them. So, we expect some more efficiency improvement in long term. We're waiting for green LEDs to get more efficient. Once green LEDs get more efficient, we wouldn't have to use the white LEDs. We would just use the blue, greens, and reds.
Wait. I gotta ask, man. I was always taught that plants don't absorb green light because they are green. They reflect it.
So they do absorb it. And green is really important because it's one of the wavelengths of light that actually penetrates the leaf. So your lower canopy is always going to get that green light. And the green light is mainly driving photosynthesis in your lower section of the canopy.
Everything I thought about.
I'm concerned.
I have wrong.
I have a green LED light just for effect in this tent. You can see glowing a little green here, but I never turn that light off. It runs 24/7 in there, and there's flowering autoflowers in there. Is this good? Is this bad? Should I turn it off every once in a while?
No way.
Well, with autoflowers, you have the ability to run those lights 24/7. I would say that not having light 24/7 for your autos is still good. I'd look at maybe a 20/4, but autos are always going to perform. That's one of the great things.
I was taught, like, we worked in green light back in the day, like when, I got to work in my photoperiod grow, and grow stores would sell, green fluorescent, or we'd get green LEDs. So those running for periods of time in the dark cycle, that's a non-issue, right? Or you're saying the plants still can absorb that?
For sure. Most definitely. If you had an infinitely adaptable green light that could reflect away only the light on, or only the color pigment of the surface of the leaf, then you could dial that into your plant and it wouldn't absorb it. But I mean, LEDs have even still just a small range. So it's still going to fall into that area where some of that light will be absorbed by the plant. So prolonged exposure to green light during your lights off cycle can definitely have a detrimental effect.
And is this stuff,
I did not know this.
Is this stuff being like invented and discovered every day? This seems like such cutting edge technology. So the stuff that you knew 5 years ago isn't, doesn't apply anymore. Is it really moving that fast?
For sure. Scotty, I think that's one of the best parts about, being in this industry, that it's just evolving so fast. There's always something new to learn. Every year there's something new. So,
But yes,
again, small amounts of exposure of green light during your lights off cycle is going to be more beneficial than running in there with a red light on, but I would say if you're in there, try and limit your exposure to when the lights are going off immediately or just before they're coming on. You're going to stress your plants out a lot less than if you were to go in there in the middle of their lights off cycle, turn a light on for an hour and do some work.
It's just, as long as we're talking, I got lighting experts on here. How big damage is it when I show my, actually I don't have a girlfriend anymore. You show your girlfriend your plants, man. Come here, I'll show you my grow. By the way, that's how you get arrested. But going in the middle of the night, turning the light on or shining a flashlight and being like, yo, man, here's my garden. Or going and checking on the garden in the middle of the night. How bad is that?
Don't make it a habit, but
sure.
I mean, every once in a while, plants are just going to be exposed to light, even when they're in their lights off period. It's not any different than us. Like, you're in the middle of your REM cycle and smoke alarm goes off, or baby starts screaming, like, you're definitely going to wake up. You're going to be shocked. But most of the time you can adapt to it, and plants are not too dissimilar.
Yeah, it makes sense. And what's up with moonlight? How come moonlight don't mess up plants? It's not enough.
So moonlight, yeah, does, you know, it's a very small amount of light. I don't think, you know, if we take this power meter, and we put it out, you know, under moonlight, I don't think it'll read even one, but, it's okay. Worth trying out. I'll give it a try tonight. But the rule that I've been following is from Bruce Bugbee that, you know, if you take a book with you and if you can read the letters of a book, a small print book, then you have too much light. Mm-hmm. It's going to have an impact on your crop.
Got it. Bruce Bugbee, he's the guy that wears a lab coat, right? I trust him.
There is.
He's got meters and lab coats and shit, man. I like that.
Dude, and he's got that NASA funding. He knows everything.
Yeah. And NASA, awesome. You guys mentioned NASA earlier. I'm not even sure if that gets me going these days. I think it's more all private. Let's talk about some SpaceX funding or something. But at the trade shows, you guys have been to a lot, and we used to always just kind of chuckle. Some guys, I don't want to say they're not smart, but their whole booth would be in like lab coats. It'd just be like some homies. Like that's how we're going to get, that's our look.
You can rent them.
Just going to have the lab. For no apparent reason. But I wanted to thank you guys for taking the time today. You guys have done a lot for the DTC. You've hooked up a lot of lights. We're currently actually having HLG 150 Patriot going over there. You Patreon producers listening, make sure you go log in and check that out. As well as, just the knowledge and being OG DTC supporters on the LED front. And I've heard tons. You guys just hooked up one of our DGC with a whole bunch of LED clone lights for a project to teach kids how to grow. There's always stories about people getting, drivers just replaced or other lights sent out. Good customer service. And that's what we preach, man.
Good design. Paying for a good design and good quality is what I preach, man. Buy it once, but it lasts you a decade. So right on.
Oh, we do have some new stuff on the way as well. I think Amit's got an HLG 200 there that we released last week.
What is that?
Yeah, sorry, what's guys. I just have to show this over here. This,
yeah, come on.
Our new favorite lamp over here.
What is it, man? That 200.
I think your background filter's taking it out there, Amit.
It's all good. All but right. give me. I understand a 200-watt light. 200 watts is good for, what, a 2x4?
No. Not quite. Say more a 2x2 if you really want to push the limits, but a 2x3. You know, AC Infinity's come a long way from their old audio cabinet.
I love their shit.
They've got tents and fans, and one of their new really great ones to work in is a 2x3. And so this one's a great, great light for that size space.
Now, is it dimmable? Does it have onboard dimming? Okay, cool. Because I know when you get down to the 100, it doesn't really make sense because you're already at the 100 watt, I presume is why you don't put a dimmer on there. You're already so low. But that's awesome. I like to have the dimmer on board, if you will.
Moving forward with the 165, those will be dimmable as well. So for the tent grower that wants to clone with those, you know, there you go.
Dude, I love it. Technology is making it so much easier to get on board and have the proper environment and lighting. All I could recommend back in the day was to go low. It was like a 250 watt HID bulb in a tent. And yeah, compared to what you're getting now, it's awesome.
My buddy bought it's for a fish tank. Fish tanks require a very specific spectrum as well. Must have been 10 years ago. $6,000 for an LED light for his fish tank because it was cutting edge, you know? So shit, that technology has come down and actually been affordable. I remember LEDs were super luxury premium item a few years back, man. They have become much, much more affordable.
Yeah, for sure.
I doubt they sell many. You think they sell many HPSs anymore? HID lights? I think that just even with the heat output, you know, even a commercial, I wonder.
There's still a lot of old growers that run HIDs, and they always will have their merit in the grow, but the ability to customize your spectrum with LEDs now.
Yeah.
And efficiency, like you're saying, heat, it's becoming a no-brainer to make that transition.
Yeah, I'll never go back. No way. I'm not cleaning any more glass or replacing any more bulbs.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, Scotty, I'm a wrap it, man. Hope everybody had. Well, shit, I learned some shit right off
the bat. I learned a lot, man. Thank you, guys.
And excited to see you. I don't know, Amit, you're going to make it out to the DDC Cup or not. I hope you can. Brock, I assume you'll be coming out.
For sure.
It's always a good time. If you guys want to come chat in person, learn some more about LEDs, make sure you come to the DGC Cup.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah. Stay at horticulturelightinggroup.com, guys. Go on over there. Coupon code DUDE will hook you up if you want to pull the trigger on some lighting. And, yeah, stay higher, DGC. Thanks for hanging out, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, great hanging. Thanks, y'all. Some people love to blaze up the tank. Yeah, we get happy for noon. And when the boss man says to take a little break.